Thank you, ladies, for that special and song. Did want to make it. I did forget one announcement about visitation today. Due to the ill weather, we're not going to be having visitation today or next Sunday because we're going to be over at Freedom Baptist Church for the afternoon service. But next Sunday is daylight savings time. Either is it end or does it begin? All you can remember that. But we're going to be springing ahead, and then we're going to be returning to our Tuesday night soul winning after that. So after the camp, we're going to be returning to our Tuesday night soul winning and looking forward to that, and looking forward to seeing an expansion of our new movement ministry there. So praise the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And also Acts chapter 1. We're going to be looking at two different verses this morning. And we're going to be looking at God's plan for personal evangelism. We're going to look at our personal responsibility in regards to evangelism this morning. Now, evangelism is a necessary part of God's plan, but the question is, who is to get out? And what is our responsibility? What does God command? We're going to look at all of those things this morning. But the only way that these things will affect you is if your heart is open to the Word of God. And I know we're here to hear God's Word. We are in this place, or at this time, to hear God's Word. So let's open our hearts to God's Word this morning and to the Holy Spirit of God. For I can't convict of sin. I can't convict of our responsibility, but God can. So let's open our heart to the Holy Spirit this morning and let His work in our heart. And when we do that, God's Word becomes real to us. It becomes alive to us. So I encourage you to do that this morning. And before we begin, I do want to share praise that we did have one except the Lord in Sunday school this morning. So praise the Lord. We're excited about that. And a rider on the bus as well. Praise the Lord. If we could all stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, we're going to look at Luke chapter 24 and verses 46 through 49. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49, and then look over Acts 1:8. And God's Word says, and said unto them, these are the words of Jesus, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Now these are overlapping and also synoptic accounts. This is when Jesus was about to ascend up into heaven. Now look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let us pray together. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. And Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts this message. And Lord, what is our responsibility according to thy word? I pray, dear Lord, tonight and this morning, we will look at these things and that we, Lord, would not just brush them aside, but that we would be burdened, and only you can be burdened. Only you, Lord, can show us the direction we're going in, whether it be right or wrong. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us this morning and that you would touch hearts. Lord, perhaps we have grown cold toward evangelism. We have grown cold toward lost people. And Lord, I pray that you put that burden and fire in our heart again. And Lord, I cannot do that, but your word can. I pray that you would bless it in a special way this morning. We pray for those watching by way of streaming, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe said, God's plan for personal evangelism. So maybe you heard the word evangelism, and you said, well, I know what evangelism is. That's what an evangelist does. So is my phone on? Is it on? It should be. Oh, I think it died. Did my microphone die? It's on. All right. So I have to stay close to the pulpit this morning. All right. But we heard of evangelism. That's what an evangelist does. That's something that that evangelist, you know, like Brother Starr goes around and he evangelizes and does evangelism. Oh, I figured out what it is. The receiver will not. There we go. All right. Everyone can hear me now? All right. Good. So a little technical difficulty there. But evangelism isn't just for the evangelist. If you are to be an evangelism, and all of us are to be in evangelism, and I'm talking about personal evangelism, I'm not talking getting up and talking about preaching, I'm talking about winning lost souls to Christ. And what is our responsibility? What does God say about it? Well, let's look at first, what is evangelism? Many men have said that, said many things about evangelism, but let's look at a simple definition of evangelist first, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ that does not pass a particular church. You could consider different ones. We see in the book of Acts, we see Philip is an evangelist, and God used him. But evangelism is simply this, the act of communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost person. The gospel being the good news that Jesus died for sinners. Aren't you so glad that Jesus died for us and for sin? For all of sin to come short of the glory of God. And evangelism is sharing with a person who does not know God the blessed truth of salvation. That sin may have eternal life in Christ and a new life in Christ. And through humble repentance of sin and calling upon Christ in heartfelt prayer, they can be saved. That's what evangelism is. Very simple premise. So what are we to do in regards to this? So there's two types of evangelism this morning. There's corporate evangelism. That is what's done by an evangelist. Preaching, you could call what I'm doing is corporate evangelism, calling upon those who do not know Christ and sharing with them gospel. And then there's personal evangelism. So that was done a little earlier today. Mrs. Imes was talking to one of the young ladies, showing them how they could be saved. That's personal evangelism. So Mrs. Imes was a personal evangelist this morning. And so that's what our Sunday school teachers, our bus workers, our children's church teachers, that's exactly what they do. They are personal evangelists that they give the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at the plan and responsibility that every Christian has in this area of personal evangelism. So maybe another way, we've looked at some dictionary definitions. Another way is that it's a way to describe evangelism or sharing the gospel is one beggar sharing with another beggar where to find bread. Because that's all we are. We're not anything of ourselves. But God does the same thing, and that we were beggars and we were destitute and dead in our sins, but someone shared with us how to be saved. And so what we simply do is share with someone else, they can be saved. So now we're going to look at this morning God's plan for evangelizing the world. Now look back at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, God's plan for evangelizing the world. Now this was the plan of God originally in the Old Testament, that God's purpose for Israel was to show the world the way of salvation through the Messiah. And they did proselytize other nations, but however, overall, they largely failed in their task that God had given to them. And we see a hint of this in Psalm 96 and verse, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read two verses from Psalms this morning, Psalm 96 verse 10 and Psalm 98 verse 2. And this gives us what God had in store for them. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigns. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. So what is he saying here? Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. That would mean proselytizing or sharing the truth of God, the truth of the Messiah. Psalm 98 verse 2. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly shewed in the sight of the heathen. And so we see that Israel's job was to evangelize the world. They were God's chosen people. They were to share the truth of the Messiah. However, because they rejected the Messiah, they rejected Jesus Christ, they were set aside. Now, this is still the plan of God to evangelize the world. Because God is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every single person in this world, it is God's will for them to be saved. However, many of them will not be, because they reject Christ. And it's part of our job and our responsibility as the ambassadors of Christ and as the children of God to see those people come to Christ. In the text this morning, we look at Luke chapter 24. You're there in verses 46 through 49. So this is a synopsis of the Great Commission. We always associate the commission with Matthew 28 and the last two verses of the book. But we look at that moment. But remember that this is a synopsis. This is the ascension of Christ. It's 1:8 is at the same time. And so we are seeing that we see God's plan for evangelizing the world. This was his last command to the church before ending up into heaven. Let's read it again. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and that it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. In whose name? Jesus' name. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And you might be sitting there saying, yes, Pastor, the job of the church to evangelize the world. I think we'd all agree that is the job, local church, to evangelize the world. I think we would agree with that. So that's right, Pastor, that's what we need to do. And the local church is made up of individual people who are part of the body of Christ. Every part has its purpose. Now, when God commissioned the church, which he founded to evangelize the world, look at Matthew 16 and verse 18. That is the purpose of the church. It's not just a rest home for saints, but it's a hospital for sinners, as is said by many preachers throughout the past. And I say it also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
And we see that Christ is the chief cornerstone, the foundation of the church, and God wants to see every part of the world evangelized. You would be surprised how many parts of the world today have never heard of the gospel of Christ. There are many rural places in China that have never heard the gospel of Christ. Many places still in India that have never heard the gospel of Christ. There are many places in rural Russia that have never heard the gospel of Christ. There are many places in rural parts of South America and even mainstream parts of South America that have not heard the gospel of Christ. We have parts of Nicaragua, most of Nicaragua has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. All over this world, even the northern reaches of Canada, there are some that have never heard the gospel of Christ. And unfortunately, even in America, there are places that have never heard the gospel of Christ. Even in America, that is beginning to be the case. So what is God's plan? How is God going to fix all this? How is God going to carry that out? I'm glad you asked. He did not just commission the apostles, the pastors, and evangelists, teachers to evangelize, as we see in the book of Acts. He didn't just tell them, well, they're the only ones that need to share the gospel. He gave that command to every Christian throughout the ages. The church is much more than just the pastor. As a pastor, that's your job, to go and evangelize the community. It's your job to go. It absolutely is. It's my job as a pastor. It's also my job as a Christian. Even if I wasn't a pastor, I still should be going and evangelizing. Amen. We still should go being evangelizing the world. It's not just the pastor's job or the faithful members of the church's job. It's everybody's job. And God's plan for the early church to begin evangelizing at Jerusalem, then to spread out into the other areas. We looked at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Let's look there. Acts 1:8. And we see a plan given here of how God wanted the gospel to be spread. And said, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Now that would be the city that they were in. And in all Judea, now that would be the region round about, so you could look at this maybe a neighboring town, and then Samaria, which is a neighboring city, so you can kind of go city, then you could go county, statewide, and then he jumped right to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but uttermost part of the earth means everywhere, man. It means to every place, every part of the world, the gospel needs to be spread. It has never been the plan of God to make Christianity an exclusive club. Now, we hear a lot about secret society in America today and the clandestine different groups, you know, Illuminati or whatever you want to call them, and different things throughout Europe and America. These secret societies that people, that really they're not secret, people know that they're there, but they have secrets within them that people must have special access, and that sometimes can describe some churches, that they want to keep the world out, and they want to keep the world out, which is great. But unfortunately, we have to let the world walk in before they can get saved, amen? Some churches, well, we don't want people from the outside community coming into our church. Then how are they going to get saved? They don't tell anyone that you're a Christian or a church member, and only special people are told about the existence that you're a Christian. I'm not saying our church is like this, but many Christians treat their church in this manner. That they go to church, they go, it's a big secret. No, we're to tell everyone about the Lord. God wants to use you as part of the local church to see the world evangelized. If we stop and think about it, it's exciting. It's daunting, but it's an exciting thing, isn't it? That God wants to use every single person in here this morning to see someone get saved. Every single person, no matter how old or young you are, God wants you to use you to bring people to Christ. Isn't that exciting? Amen? A couple of us are excited about it. Amen, it's exciting. Amen? So let's look at God's plan for you. So we look at God's overall plan. What's God's plan for you? Let's back at another synoptic. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, the last few verses of the book. We're going to look here. This is the plan of God for you. Beginning in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. So he has the authority to tell us this. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he sees this is the Great Commission, as says Luke 24, a few different details given here. And many times we look at the Great Commission and we see the first command, go. So we see, so in obedience to do what the Lord commands, we just go out. However, this wasn't the first command that he gave to the disciples. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm going to read verse number 49 of Luke 24. Oh, sorry, verse, and verse 49. I behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Look at Acts 1:8. Also, we'll look at verse number 5 as well. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Now verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So first of all, yes, we need to go, but first on the list here is we need the power of the Holy Spirit. If we would go out and see people saved, and that's a great desire to have, but if you go and do it in your own strength, you're not going to get real far. Go and do it yourself and do it your way and do it the way that you think ought to be done. You're not going to get very far. But before we go out, before we can win anyone to Christ, we better have our life right with God. We better make sure that our hearts are right with God and make sure that we're walking in the Spirit of God. Because if we don't, we are powerless to see people get saved. And in order to have the Holy Spirit part of our life and to be walking with the Spirit, we need to look at the steps here and we need the power of the Holy Spirit witnessing. If we lack the Holy Spirit's power, we will have no boldness. We will have fear. We will have timidity. We will have little results and we'll have much discouragement. Because prayer, we must start first in order to be able to walk in the Spirit of God. Prayer is the conduit of God's power. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verses 29 through 31. First of all, we need to make sure we're a confession of sin. We know 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Before you go out winning, you better make sure you're clean. Make sure you're right with God. Because God can't use someone who has a dirty heart. God can't use someone who has sin in their life. God can't give the Holy Spirit's power. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit, the pure Spirit of God. That He cannot give that to us and we cannot receive power from it, receive the boldness from it, receive the words even that God would have us to say. If we have sin in our life, we must be ready to get our relationship right with God. But Acts chapter 4 and verses 29 through 31. Now we see the church, the early church, they were in a terrible position. That they were being oppressed, they were being persecuted in Jerusalem, they were being threatened with their lives. And you know what? They were faced with a situation. And we see that Peter is preaching to the Sanhedrin in the early part of the chapter. And then the Sanhedrin commands Peter not to preach anymore. And the apostles, don't preach anymore in this name of Jesus. Don't preach anymore. And what did he say? It's better for us to obey God than men. But then we see their prayer. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto us, the second part, last prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth the hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So they were faced with a hard situation. Now, if you face a situation with a lot of Christians today, they would be bowing down, and they would be saying, Lord, save us from the situation. Lord, take the situation away. Lord, protect us. They asked for that. They said, Lord, give us boldness. They're trying to frighten us. The devil's trying to bring upon us the spirit of fear. But, Lord, we need boldness. We can't do it ourselves. We can't be bold on our own. We're weak. We're human beings. We can't do it. But they prayed and they asked for boldness so that they could present the gospel. And you know what? God answered prayer. The place was shaken. Many times people look at that, but more importantly, they had the power of boldness at the end. And they said, went out. What'd they do? They spake the word of God with boldness. They had answered prayer. Then they went out. They asked for boldness and gave it to him. You know, we look like in this, that when God came to Solomon and asked him, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And he said, I need wisdom because I'm but a child. You know, the Lord rewarded him for that because he didn't ask for riches and gold and all these things. You asked for my truth and my wisdom. And this is likened to it. We ask for so many things that save us from discomfort, that save us from different things. But instead, we should be asking God for power and enablement to do His work. So many people spend their time praying selfish prayers. Lord, save me from my situation. How about we ask for boldness to get through it with God's help? So, Lord, save me from this, save me from that. Nothing wrong necessarily with being that. But if that's all we pray, we've missed the point of prayer. We need to ask God for the power to live the Christian life. Soul winning is no different. So first, we need to have that power. Make sure we're right with God. Make sure we've confessed our sin and have the power of the Holy Spirit and that we go out. Now we're ready. Now it's time to go. And what do? Go to where the lost people are. What did Jesus say? Go to the uttermost part of the earth. Don't let them, for them to come to you. You go to them. So many churches don't have a soul winning program. They just expect the lost people to walk off the street, come down, bow at the altar. So what do you need? Oh, I need to get saved. That sometimes happens. It's happened before. But I'll tell you what, it's a very recurrence. If you're waiting around for that, it's going to be a little while. Okay? Make sure that you realize that God wants us to go out to the most part of the earth, not wait for them to come in. Sometimes they do come in, and that's great. We're to go out to them. Go to where lost people are. You know what? Lost people can be found most anywhere. Do you know that? In your neighborhood. I said, well, I knocked on doors in my neighborhood. Everyone says they're a Christian. Just because they say they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. Everybody calls themselves a Christian today. It's a popular thing to be called a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. I go to church. That's what our culture relates with Christianity. I go to church. Oh, I read my Bible every day. That's Christianity. That's being saved. No, it's not. Being saved, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by a time in your life that you call upon Jesus to save you from your sin without reservation. And without holding anything back, without holding on to your sin, repenting of your sin, realizing how wicked and terrible it was, as well, I've never done that. They're not saved then. They've never called upon Jesus for salvation. You can find people in your neighborhood, at your workplace, at church sometimes. You can find lost people. In your Sunday school class, in your children's church class, in your school classroom, at your doctor's office, and not just around the world, but around the corner as well. So, well, there's lost people over in Africa. There's lost people in South America. There's lost people over in Germany. There's lost people everywhere. Yes, and there's lost people here in Killeen, Texas. There's lost people here on Fort Hood Street. There's lost people right next door in this duplex, and these duplexes and fourplex over here right next door to us. About 2,000 feet away. There's lost people over there. We must go to where they are. That's why we have door-to-door invitation. We go and knock. We go to where they are. Because you know what? They don't know we're here most of the time. They don't think to come to us because they don't know that they're lost. That's the trouble, lost people. They don't know they are. Sometimes they do, but most of the time they don't. And we need to show them from God that they are. And that can be difficult at times, but it's worth it when someone realizes their condition. And many times we knock on someone's door, we knock on their door, and we say, hey, I'm from Tabernacle Baptist Church. We're just going to the neighborhood sharing the love of Jesus Christ and wanting to invite you to church. Do you go to church anywhere? No, I don't go to church anywhere. Well, more important than going to church, you know for sure that you're saved. And you know what? Many times we run across, you know what? I've been thinking about that. You know, I've been praying, asking God to send someone to me that would tell me how to get saved. That happened to me one time. And you know what? That's a divine appointment that God used you to do that. And you know what? God wants to do that with us more often than we like to think. God wants to use us in divine appointments to see people saved more often than we realize. But are we open to it? If we intend to win some, then we must go to where they are. You see, in Acts chapter 8, you see Philip, the evangelist, God sent him to go down to the desert. Didn't say who he's going to talk to. Didn't say what was going to happen. Said, just go down there. He said, okay, Lord, he went down there, and he found the Ethiopian eunuch ready, reading the book of Isaiah, talking about reading prophecy of the Messiah, and he was ready to be saved. And so Philip shared with him Jesus, and he got saved. Amen. He went where he was. God told Philip, go. And you know what? Philip didn't say, hey, Philip had a revival going on where he was. He was in Samaria. He was having tons of people, thousands of people getting saved, hundreds of people. And God said, go down here. And you know what? The cost of one soul is important to God. God is interested in the many and in the few. Some people say, oh, God is only interested in the couple hundred people getting saved. No, God is interested in the one getting saved. Amen. Remember what the Bible says. There'll be much rejoicing in heaven and of the angels or one person that repented, and over 99 just persons who need repentance. Remember that. You say, pastor, it's not that easy. Why not? Because you don't believe God can lead you to a person to be saved? Let me share with you something. Do you know how many Christians worship in China? I'm going to share with you how they do. We know the underground church movement in China, and we call it the house church movement. They don't call that. That's what we call it. Family, this is how it usually happens. A family spends time in prayer on Sunday morning, asking the Lord where they should go that Sunday. When the Lord impresses upon them to go to a certain church member's house, when they get there, they find two or three other families have the same leading. Then they meet there and worship the Lord there together. Then they head home. The next week they do the same process again, never returning to the same house ever again. The underground church in China has been doing this for years and years, and God is leading them, and they have faith that God will lead them where they need to go. What if we did church like that? Amen. Do we have the same kind of faith that God lead us to where we need to go and to the person to whom we need to witness? Remember, God's timing is perfect. We can enter into situations and the outcome most of the time is miraculous. When that divine appointment happens, sometimes people don't get saved, but most of the people do when that happens. Because God has been preparing them. They've been seeking for God and God rewards that. Remember, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And those that are seeking after Him, He will send a person to them to show them how they can find Christ. God wants to use you to do that. God wants to use me. He wants to use every single person in here. He wants to use everyone watching the streaming this thing. God wants to use you to see someone get saved. Do we have the same kind of faith? To say, Lord, lead me to someone. And you know what? Lord, put someone, but Lord, not them. Not them. I've tried before. Well, God wants you to try again. Go to where lost people are. Lost people are everywhere. You know, we act like there's a scarcity of lost people. There's not. They're everywhere. Walk into Walmart. And sometimes some lost people are harder or easier to pick up than others. But even the person, you know, we got to be careful not to judge by how they look. Because the most together, oh, they must be a Christian. They wear a skirt and they do all this stuff. They might be lost as could be. That might be just their fashion preference. You don't know. Let's assume that. How many do that? You're like, oh, they're probably Christians. Where do they go to church? You know, you talk to them and, you know, different things like that. We've done that a couple of times. Most of the time they do end up going to church, but sometimes they don't. Oh, I don't go to church at all. Remember, no one can get to heaven on their own. They need the Lord, Jesus Christ. When we go and to where else people are, we need to tell those people about the only way to heaven. Acts 4:12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, it doesn't say we could be saved or should be saved or possibly be saved, but must be saved. That's the only way to be saved is to trust in Jesus Christ. No one can get saved through their good works. No one can get saved on their own. Our job is to convince them, to compel them to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not to force them, but compelling, giving a compelling argument, giving a compelling explanation from God's Word of their sinful condition. 14:23, God gives a man here in the parable. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You want to know how to fill up this auditorium? Every single one of you going and compelling people to come in. Going and compelling people to be saved. That's the only way this is going to grow. Amen? It's not through programs. It's not through having a nice building, though we do. We're thankful that we made God's house look the way it ought to. It's not through having the best Sunday school classes, though we strive to. It's not through having the best bus ministry, though we try to do our best, Lord. It's not through any of those things. It's through going out, and you know what the bus ministry, by the way, is going to where lost people are and bringing them in so that they can be saved. That's what we're to do. That's the purpose of the bus ministry. That's the purpose of Sunday school. That's the purpose of children's church. We need to be ready to go and to share the gospel with lost people. We can't do it if we don't have the power of God and if we don't go to where lost people are. And this is the last step. Tell them. You'll never reach this point if you don't realize the responsibility you have. You'll never reach this point if you don't have a burden for people lost in their sin. We all have compassion. Look at Jude chapter 1 and verse 22. Jude verse 22. We must have compassion on people. It's very easy to be hardened and cynical. It's very easy to just look at people and say, well, that's their condition. Verse 21 is also important. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others say, with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We need to have compassion. But looking on tonight's out of the mind of Christ. Christ was compassionate. As a Christian and as those having the mind of Christ, we must be compassionate. People need to be shown that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Our personal responsibility, the personal to me, to you, to everyone in here, our personal responsibility is that God wants us to be ready to go. To pray every day, Lord, use me to lead someone to Christ. Lord, use me. I am looking for those divine appointments. I'm looking for those opportunities. And Lord, if you don't bring any my way, I'm going to go find someone to tell about Jesus Christ. That should be our bid. That's our responsibility to do. And we can only do that if we pray and we walk in the Spirit every day. And we pray as the Lord with boldness. As a pastor, you don't understand. I am the most timid person ever. That's okay. God can still use you. There was a man named Endicott. He was a Sunday school teacher many years ago. He was a very timid man, very backward man, but he loved his Sunday school students. And one of the Sunday school students that he had was a man named Dwight Moody. And he was working there. He was a young man at that time. He was working as a shoe salesman. And he was a young man, probably 19, 20 years old at that time. And he was going to Sunday school there to the young person's Sunday school class. And his teacher, Ed Kimball, came by the store one day and wanted to talk to him. But he was so backward and so shy that he almost couldn't get it out. And he just finally asked him, and I said, are you sure that you're saved? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? And Dwight said, no, I don't think I ever have. And so Ed Kimball took out his Bible and showed him what God said. And Dwight L. Moody got saved and turned into perhaps the greatest evangelist America has ever seen. Just because of one shy, backward Sunday school teacher. Oh, don't ever think your job as a Sunday school teacher is not important. Don't ever think that your job as a children's church teacher is not important. It is very important. It is extremely important because you might be leading to Christ the next Dwight Moody that America needs right now. It's a pastor. There's churches all over. Everybody tells me it's true. We don't know. Well, the only reason we know about Ed Kimball is because of what Dwight Elm did. Amen? If Ed Kimball had kept it to himself, decided not to teach Sunday school, and decided not to cheat, not to share the gospel, and just sit in the pew and do what a lot of Christians do, we never knew who he was. But forever we'll know because of the person he led to Christ. And he wasn't a somebody. He was just a shy, timid man that did what God told him to do. Though he was shy and he was timid, he prayed for boldness. He actually had to work up the courage for several days to go even talk to Dwight L. Moody. And he went and shared it with him. You know what? I think he was overjoyed then. So glad that he did. You know, we work ourselves up so many times about what's going to happen door. What's going to happen when we talk to that person, and 9 times out of 10, none of it happens. Amen? 9 times out of 10, and never. You know, sometimes it does. You know, sometimes we get a bad situation. Sometimes a guest that doesn't want to hear. But then we've got the rule, everybody's like that. No, not necessarily. What is our response to all this? What is our response to God's plan? Now that you know your responsibility that God's given to every Christian in every land, not just in America, but all over the world, what is our response going to be? The responses we can have. Will we have the response of Isaiah? Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, I'll go for you. I'll go and do it. You've commanded me, and I'll go and do it. I'm going to pray, Lord. I need boldness. I need your help. I need your power. I can't do it on my own, but I'll go to lost people are. I'll go and tell them, even if they don't want to hear. I'll tell them, dear Lord. And that's what Isaiah did for all of his life. He didn't have many comments, but he was faithful. And you know what? He told Isaiah right up, you're not going to get a lot of converts. God just told them right up that, but he did it anyway. Now, God hasn't told us we're not going to get many converts. Amen? He told us to be faithful, no matter what the result is. Or will we have the response of Isaiah, or will we have the response of Job, running from the responsibility he had? He was a prophet of God, and God gave him a message. God told him to go where lost people were. Told him to go where to Nineveh, where lost people were, and he said, no, I'm not going to go. He ran. Then when he did go, he still had a rotten attitude about it, but God still used it anyway. God can use it in spite of ourselves. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to be ready and right with him and empowered by him and go for him and tell for him. I pray that you feel the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning. Now that we know our responsibility, will we fulfill it? Or will we just brush it aside and say, no, that's not for me? God's word says it's for you. It's for me. It's for everyone in here this morning. Now you know God's plan. Will you fulfill your place in it? Let's pray. Dear the Father, we come before you humbly, dear Lord. As a humble people, a weak people, none of us are strong, none of us are mighty, Lord, but you are. And Lord, we have a desire to see lost people saved. But Lord, many of us are overcome with fear, overcome with doubt, or whatever it may be, Lord, but I pray that we would just confess those things. And Lord, just come to the responsibility that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit is burdening our hearts even now. A person who is lost. Maybe someone we know. Maybe it's a person we haven't even met yet. But Lord, that burden is coming upon us. And you've given it to us. Lord, we can't create our own, but you can give us that. Lord, we understand our responsibility. We understand what we must do. Lord, I pray that we be faithful to do it. And Lord, that we surrender to you. And Lord, that we would come to you as we are. Not making excuses. Not making exceptions for ourselves. But Lord, realizing the responsibility that you have given to us. And Lord, humbly accept it. Lord, I pray during this invitation time, if we've been running as Jonah did, from our responsibility, Lord, I pray that we would confess it at thy throne this morning, that we would turn from it and return to you and go where you tell us to go and to tell to whom you have us tell thy precious gospel, thy saving power. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us this morning. Bless this invitation, Lord. I pray that conviction of sin that is in our life, Lord, would be strong so that we confess it and be restored. Lord, that maybe we need boldness and we need your power. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would be bold in asking for it this morning and not let another moment pass in weeks. Lead us, we pray, and guide us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.